clause on the assessment of the cost of what?
This is our assessment of the annual. It does not have to be only an assessment of the service period, because it can mean that there will be a major closure. But it includes what happened in the period. But it's basically
observation view.
Observation. Observation. We've got a performance here.
And it's not, you can't say it's our position on the matter.
You know, in writing these reports, it becomes very clear to us that we, as every committee for credit committee, is a very distinct advantage. Because we're looking at the 2006-2007 annual report. The current year is 2007-2008, and the real financial crisis, the real shift on the financial crisis arrived then. In the forecast of the way what they are forecasting for what's going to come out in 2008. So almost commenting on 2007 is almost like way back in the past. So this report is strictly limited to the 2007. We have the advantage of the forecast for 2010. But once this is the other report on the budget and strategic plan, I think we have to try to incorporate more discussion on the 2008 outcome. It's already there. The problem is already manifesting itself. In terms of the sustainability of the funding deficit. But the funding deficit is still sustainable in 2016. When you use 2006, the funding deficit becomes very bad. So you're seeing a very sharp deterioration.
We have commented on the fact that they do have problems
to comment on something on this.
say almost a month into the deterioration funding policy from the professional and the revenue for polarizing from the inability to deliver the amount of paying back. I do not know whether it is the word deterioration is what it is from.
The financial position of the agency is sustainable and tends to sustainable despite financial shifts. But if you will recall John, when he presented to us his budget, he presented several proposals on how the funding model of the agency's office can be changed because the Auditor General is no longer able to fund itself out of the funding model. So they acknowledge it. It's very serious. If you look on page 80 of the budget strategic plan, the budget deficit, the funding deficit goes from 27.3 million to 116.8 million in the following year. And your working capital, which is supposed to cover that deficit, it can't cover that deficit anymore. So we're in quite a serious position.
But Madam Chair, it's also part of a process that has taken place over a number of years where the deficit, there wasn't a deficit, but the margin was getting smaller and smaller and smaller, and now you're in a deterioration over the period.
Yeah.
So that's why I think deterioration is affecting
that. Couldn't this be qualified by the previous deterioration?
And what is also happening is that slow payments are different. It's having a very, very sharp impact on the funding, on the cash flow. So that the combined impact of that is an existing scheme, and the funding margins, the gross profit margins are very massive. And so that is squeezing in margins from cheating. Because they're not in an own hours income. It's only with the own income that they derive any kind of profit. Then they hand over to contractors and that kind of stuff.
And there's what, 15 years? I'm looking at you, you're 50 contractors out of the world, 20 or whatever, which you're asking, and what is the problem? They're taking them to have the basic condition.
That's the problem. That's why they're saying to us. We actually anticipating a discussion of Done for next year. But if we have been standard schedule for the impact both on our annual report, what is happening is that the auditor general is saying we cannot sustain ourselves for the special funding launch. So therefore there are several options. Firstly, all of those options include increasing
talent.
Well, if you look at the operational expenditure, which I did, and if you look at those 2010, operational expenditure is actually not growing in
2010.
And they've agreed to what they did about that. I'm talking about the case of what they could do. What they're looking at. Another one is what they did was they pulled back by a good 15 million out of four just this last year, which means that they've underinvested hugely in IT, which is now coming back to bust. If you look at the operational change, they've done an international survey of the average of where operational, what percentage operational expenditure should be of audit income. And the norm is between that operational expenditure should be between 25% and 35% of your income. They have 28%. So it's not efficient. You know, the operational expenditure is not viable. I think the issue that we're dealing with is more that we've got the auditing of the municipal finance of the economy. The thing I think that's really sort of hit the audit general part is the municipal finance management act and the auditing requirements. And that it's municipalities are still backing to get on to line in terms of getting in on time. But all in general, they're trying to return financial statements to have them be done because they're full of quality. That last year they had far more municipalities handling on time than they anticipated, so they had backlogs they had to then work with, and they had contracts on. These backlogs are very unpredictable. No one knows in the municipal domain, given that it's only the first year of their presentation of implementation, what your systems are going to need to monitor, what those are going to monitor. So I think I've been hit by that principle, because I see where the problem started with the municipal finance. Similarly, they're hit by things within their own capacity within their own audit team. For instance, many people have a qualification or have the skills and expertise to be on a certain level, but because they haven't passed the yet formal minimum qualification test, they haven't been promoted. So their audit income that they would be earning is far less than that should be earning. So that reduces their income as well, and that's why there's a concern there. This stage to sort out your ratios and get those sorted out. But there are also 274 memberships, and this is all stuff. 244 audit staff operational staff shortage. Now, when you're working with that kind of shortage, it's really, really impacting on the bottom line. Well, that is one of the recommendations that we put there, is to say that they need more sophisticated in the morning to be able to monitor just the flow of audits that are going to be coming in range and try to work out how they rationalize. But there are very different situations.
Madam Chair, I think I was also looking at point number two. Where we think, oh, we are the latter part of the last sentence. To me, I think there's more that we need to add there, unless if I'm wrong. When we say inability of local government to pay on time, is it the problem of not paying on time, or there's also the issue of non-payment at all? Because I'm not sure of what is the report of the
time. Rising of inability of local government to either pay on time or to pay on time.
cost of the order, the other is the cash flow.
Yes. What is the cost of the
order? Yeah, so we must get the
cash
flow. The cash flow one is more to the
yes, the cost of the order is
Madam Chair, I think one of the very important things that that we saw was the analysis of how the infrastructure works. It's obviously that you pay high salaries for highly qualified people, although they're not even competitive really with the outside of the sector. So, and they make less profit on highly paid people services. In other words, the more they put in highly paid or highly qualified people to do an audit, the less profit because the markup becomes extremely small. It almost disappears. It almost disappears when you use a highly qualified peer. Whereas if you use a clerk, it's not even big, but it's reasonable. I think it's not the market.
But anyway, they are not
earning interest for them. Because if you take the challenge, that's what it actually costs to put you in an audit position in a company. That margin probably doesn't even cover the actual cost.
Salary
plus the expenses of getting in there. And that is the problem with the funding model. And you explain that, which is why you have to change the funding model to make it more profitable. It's not necessarily tariffs across the board that has to rise. You certainly will have to have be able to increase its margin on senior staff. Seems to me,
And then there's just a comment on the language. And then my understanding was that they were going to meet earlier in the year next year and then try and see what more they do in order to
that will be in the
second
document.
Oh,
on the
Now the problem is when you're doing this report, you already know more than what you've been doing before.
Well, we didn't do it before.
No,
but once you start making the real thing from this budget,
yeah.
No,
I was going to say, when you make a general comment, that we'll start with things that exceeded the budget. So, I mean, there's a point.
Yeah.
Now, without unpacking any more from the details, I mean, what you see down here is the problem. And really, this document is the one that
if you want to shift to that so that we can get over this, because this is a major issue for us, what you could do is shift to, and come back to this, but shift to the document and budget and strategic plan, and shift to the section that deals with, and that's on page 5.
I wonder, I looked through what you've got there. Yes, there might be some words here and there. The substance of what you said in this report is absolutely correct, given also the knowledge at the time. And I would, unless there are real serious objections, I would look at this box of people, because I think it's accurate to in the discussion.
Look, before that, Madam Chair, mine was on saying sometimes it may help if you could make some examples of quantifying what we're talking about. For instance, if you're saying that local government is paying late or sometimes not paying at all, if you could be able to say the 30% debt that is debt at local government in the past, for the past 3 years, let's say, so that it could also give a picture. And you can be able to say an estimated amount of so much is outstanding from local government. You can give a better picture.
It's a it isn't her that reports that she put against the violence of the schedule. Because remember, he was not going to give us the schedule because he said yes, and it was constructive.
Yeah.
And he sent out his order team to finalize the schedule before he makes a final statement on the extent of local government.
So in actual fact, our observation is not 100% for Donald Trump.
Yeah, he knows what he's thinking about. But you know what happens? And he didn't suddenly say, oh, that's what I'll say, we don't know about this. Do you know what I mean? So he just sent his order team to him, which is a very sensitive process, to just find us and send us about the rest.
I'm looking at somebody submitting an invoice, and after 2 or 3 years, you can still be invoice. Because to me, it's just a matter of judging and writing.
If we want to sustain that, which we should clearly all of us would want to, then either they've got to give them, you know, an abstract to increase their tariffs, and they've got a comfortable solution. But after all, Gavin, I need to help us, as far as I understand, if they make a profit, they can't just sustain that profit, but it's motivated, because it's rubbish, all their hands. So, if they're terms of a higher rate, they've got up a reserve, well, then this committee can say, hang on, you call it. Since you set money for whatever you want to, then it has to be that thing, carry that money to keep your parents down to the next. Isn't that what we mean? Pretty much.
No, but I think what we should
do
is just a policy of saying, can we
move
through the discussion on the report on the budget?
Yes.
Because on page 3, on page 4, and on paragraph 5, on page 4, we can go back to that. On page 4, paragraph 5, I wrote down a tentative response to the AG's sense around what kind of funding model. This is the document that we're looking at, the report on the budget and strategic plan, and it's page 4, and paragraph 5 there. That means that the Auditor General should recover fees from Treasury. The Northern Treasury. And the Northern should be paid in advance and you've done a whole thing and paid 20% in the year.
Yeah.
That's right. Increase tariffs as well to fund capital expenditure and reserves. They find it enormously difficult to find capital expenditure and reserves. I mean, there are particular reserve requirements to cover self and commitments, like medical aid, So that's the first option. Doesn't get anything from government, but the invoices the treasury. Second option is that these budgets would cover corporate services, reserves, and capital expenditure, and that tariffs would be, he would not get anything, but tariffs would be increased to fund working capital requirements. So in other words, he's saying he will reduce tariffs to exclude corporate services. so they don't have to try to take the services out of the margin of the profits that they make. But they will increase cash to fund working capital requirements. Now, working capital requirements are basically the requirements to do the audit. Corporate services are basically your operating expenses. That seems to me a dicey thing because you can move backwards and forwards between them anyway. So that is another thing that deals with increased, that some services will have to be increased, other services reduced, and some are being compromised. The service that National Treasury will give a quarterly cash advance for operating expenses. And the Auditor General would increase tariffs to fund capital expenditure and reserves. The fourth is to increase the Auditor General tariffs for working capital, CapEx, and reserve funding. So that's virtually for everything. So this generates for the agency to increase tariffs. And then the fifth is for the audit budget to be allocated to the AG. In other words, I think the AG says Parliament would allocate, and that all the chiefs would simply know that they got a service without having to pay.
Because it's like the bottom.
It comes with department allocation. Now, my first response was what Eddie was saying, is that so then we want to read the responses first, and then we can go through the discussion on that. So 6, 7, 8, 9, right towards the end, covers, well, I thought it covers some of the discussion that we had.
While we're still looking at what he said, I don't know if we can, I'm not saying that we don't do that in the future. But I was looking at the first one because it has the annual report. report corporate governance as an observance. And having looked at the pattern of our observation that we've made, we've made observations on each element, but when we go to corporate governance, we've not made any observations, but instead we just went on to number 8, which I will take as observation, but now this is not specific to corporate governance as said. And then we just went to conclusion. I was just checking as to whether there's anything that we could have
No, you have to be correct for the other side of mind. In fact, we have said that one of the, in our experience, as we have told, one of our critical problems is the relationship between the focus and the free code. And that this relationship needs to be refined. So I think we need to take that. And I think what you need to be saying is that plenty of the view that the corporate governance structure of the organization needs to be rooted in the view. It's a capital allocation that the relationship between the audit committee and the parent is unsatisfactory and will need fine tuning in the years to come.
Well, this is a question. We are asking the combination of 1 and 3, which are basically the same, the way I see each other, except for the advance, the strategy which is here. And that would give me a good job to and I think I cover the interest that's all about.
Option 3, you're right. I think what I was saying is that any option that is required role from government is unsatisfactory.
Yeah.
So that is time for option 3.
That is not a role.
No, that's a role.
That's a catch-up role.
But still, a catch-up role is subject to scrutiny. You would scrutinize the operations, you would say, what is your operating expenditure is this? We are the opinion that you operate in the interview with time, and therefore we don't use the amount that you are requesting. That's why I'm saying options 2, 3, or 5 are unsatisfactory because it's advantage from government.
But you say allocate budget to relevant really. Who actually does the allocation? Bond?
Now the last one. It could either be the National Treasury or what the Auditor General was saying, some kind of thing. But you know, those of us who retired in 1994 would recall the enormous battles we had to extricate collection revenue services out of the option of revenue funded by government. Just so that the civil service, so that you're not subject to the civil service rules. That you need to pay basic salaries, you need to do a whole lot of things. If we now go back and pull the auditor back into the normal, or we pull them back into the normal for Parliament, and then it's back in the Parliament to properly explain that, the general office is very subject to what Parliament can afford to pay, and having to bargain with Parliament. So Parliament says, we don't think it's right that you're doing this in desperation.
Don't want interference with operations.
Absolutely.
But Chair, that is why I didn't say anything at the time that he put it on the table. I thought, you know, it's that we have the discussions with him. But my contention has always been that it would be better if we make one way or another, three to be the debtor of last season. That's not one of the options. In other words, he doesn't finish the budget this
year.
If within, let's say, within 6 months, somebody doesn't pay the treasury next time.
No. What number one is what they're saying. They're saying they will invoice treasury. Treasury will simply be then
a credit.
Treasury doesn't decide that they advance this amount of money. Treasury simply gives credit, they pay and they recover from
municipality. Oh no, the reason why I didn't use it that way is because it seems allocate budget to relevant community.
Yes,
and I thought that meant allocation by parliament. Which means that you're gonna have this debate between ourselves and
But you are saying legal considerations that you must take into account. And And that is why I think it's quite important that we are workshopping with this, because we haven't had time to properly really, really practice it, because it's so much learning. Because it's a huge plan itself can be really. And if we can just look at what I've written and amend or change or add on or whatever what I've written, then I think we could, you know, some way could be solving a critical part of what we are trying to do.
I just wanted to say that always want to be on the fundamental issue that increases the status of agency, for working capital, capital gains, and reserves. I mean, that's what we're saying. That is the position that has to increase the status. So that, that means for all the
things that you
mentioned without. Well, that's what I'm saying. If you want to be on that, well, then that one we can put.
Well, you see, under 7, I'm saying all options 1 to 4, all individual, partial, or full increase in salary. This seems unavoidable, but the National Treasury must be consulted on the matter. But I'm sure the National Treasury and other bodies would want to make comments on this increase in salary. Because there is concern in certain sources of the tariffs at the same time. Because the auditors should be if this money comes out of appropriate money. And I think National Treasury does have a right to be able to comment on the tariffs. We've always asked them to comment. And if there is going to be an increase over and above the 40% increase which we do every year, we always ask National Treasury and IRSA to comment on it.
Comments quite good. It isn't just the reason for this committee and establishment to make sure that they did overcome that. I mean, otherwise, what are we doing? I'm not saying that should be off their comment, but I can't see that the auditors handle it. I mean, I thought this is the committee of oversight, and we are exercising oversight because, as you say, because a lot of money is actually being appropriated in our tax budget for that purpose. So it's worth it.
Everything has got to do with tariffs, except number 5. Now, I would request that if we could be made to understand the difference between the 4. Because if you look at those figure 1, it talks about allocating budget to relevant tenders. But if you look at number 5, it also talks about allocate for the budget. But then you come all in between, there is the issue of tariff. Now I'm trying to understand, because at the end of the day we agree on something amount in part. But they are all talking about tariff increase, but maybe on different areas or levels within the challenge. I want us to understand that, because I think that is the most important one for me if we were to make an opinion to this proposal.
Okay, let's go through
Now, I'm trying to understand this. I'm looking where it says allocate budget to relevant sellers.
Okay,
who allocates, which is the relevant seller in this instance?
No, no.
But on the other hand, you can also cover them if one is saying allocated budget for those areas. Now, what has it, why do we have to increase the sellers? Because at this time you've got that one. Why do we still have to increase the sellers?
What they're saying here is, I think when they're being allocated, they should be saying appropriate. In other words, it's an appropriation that gets passed in Parliament. Not Parliament that appropriates, but that becomes an annual appropriation, a budgetary appropriation every year. Allocate budgets to relevant treasuries. So that what would happen is national and the provincial treasuries would each get a vote. That is for the audit agenda. Okay? And then they would then recover their audit fees from that treasury, and that treasury would recover that payment from the vote that is voted for them in the annual appropriation. Do you understand that? So it would be incorporated into the budget.
So it would be like lending somebody, they lend money, so traders, all the relevant traders. But that money must be recouped from the clients, okay?
They wouldn't be lending. They would be paying out. The Auditor General would say, okay, on a quarterly basis, these are the audits I've done, these are the audit fees, this is what you must pay now. And they'd be paid. Then the treasuries would pay out of the amount of money that is on the line item of their
But on the other hand, also generally saying, but they would still also have to increase the tariff, which they would be using to charge from the appropriation levy in the different.
So that's they're talking about the auditor general here is talking about a hybrid model. It's saying we would recover the money from treasury, but we also have to increase our tariffs to cover our costs.
Oh, okay.
So what is the first item here is really dealing with the cashflow
costs.
Yeah. So it's dealing with the fact that they're not using the money fast enough in time to cover their expenses. But it's also dealing with the structural problems. because they don't have enough money, even if they got all their money from municipalities and town, they don't have enough money to cover their expenses. So that's why they say, we get the money from Treasury, so we don't have to spend money for this money from Treasury, but we also raise tariffs so we can cover our costs.
But the question is now, if let's say Parliament can agree on that part,
yeah,
how would there still be a need for the client to pay? And if they are paying, whom are they going to pay? They
that
pay.
Treasury would be recovering from them.
So that now would be, let's not say that it's daily, don't have to do
it. No,
okay.
Yeah.
If they so decide to recover those money.
And it does say to the Auditor General that Parliament and politicians will then have to make a decision in that budget, in that parliamentary budget, about how much they will vote to go to National Treasury and the Treasury for the Auditor General to be paid. So it will then be subject to political scrutiny, which is, might be unconstitutional. I'm not sure. Well, that's option four. I say option one.
Option one,
I said, but now I'm inviting
it. Yeah.
Option four. But it doesn't talk about cash flow.
We must have the cash flow problem with the tax. You can't have a situation where you say you must have your book audit. Because that's what there's no option to quite have your book audit happen. If your books are in such a mess that it costs twice as much to have an audit than they would have normally been the case, well, you know, and you've got to help. You know, the problems and everything, then that becomes, I think, a disfavor. Because there are different ways of doing it. Then you're going to have something effectively conditional grants. Something ring thing.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to one of the council officers. I said, how can they not pay when they budget for council officers? You must. You have to buy it for...
It's not
going to be...
Because the problem is far in excess of the cash flow problem. We've got a problem that they are not generating sufficient income to fund the operation. Robbie, can you help us just get to financial? Because I think we all have got... Let's just have agreement. We all agree that we should avoid the aging budget being subject to parliamentary appropriations and to grants from the executive.
Yes.
Because that is a... We all agree that the preferable route would be for them to be able to increase their tariffs, and we all agree that there needs to be something tougher to cover their cash flow problems arising out of local damage. That is what we want to say. So then we've just got to get that down and say that.
And that is why, Madam Chair, I want to suggest that there are five options that you give in the table of the information. There is in fact a sixth option that is not mentioned, and that is what Mary and I have been agreeing about.
Mm-hmm.
And that is four, basically, which solves the income profit situation. Plus, making the relevant treasury the guarantor of last year.
Okay, so can we exclude paragraph 9, so because option 1 is the most embarrassing and it's not? Can we then go to option 8 and say option 8 is the most desirable option?
Option 8 option, which is the most desirable?
Option 4. This is on paragraph 8. Is the most desirable option providing that the mechanism can be sought and guaranteed to that natural surgery assists the general should catch the problems arise during the year. Then we're talking about
mine was going to be one, we need to make comments on each Roman figure there.
Yes.
Rather than just going to speak on the one that we find is more appropriate in terms of our own discussion. Because my feeling is that this at the end of the day should be going to other stakeholders we'll be looking to. But if we could make our field on each point, because if you look at Roman figure 5, it has got the disadvantages. But the rest of the others we do not use, but where we put advantages and disadvantages so that it will be easy for some, when they look at our final recommendations, they should be able to reflect on why we find it.
So we then need to reflect on option 5, which we haven't previously reflected on. But option 5 we haven't reflected on. So let us say that, let us deal with the one that we say is the most desirable. Option 4 is the most desirable option, providing that National Treasury, all the relevant
treasuries,
providing that the relevant treasury. The relevant treasury is able to provided that a mechanism be found that the relevant treasury
personally, I don't particularly like the idea of paying for the service in advance. And already service needs to be paid for once it's been rendered and satisfactorily rendered. So, despite him preferring an advance, let him rather work on the basis that he's paid with
advance. So, option 4 is the most desirable option, providing that the relevant treasury is able to guarantee the payment of ADSP. How do you obtain the payment? Is able to guarantee time and terms of order to you. Then your question on option 5 is you say this is the least desirable option because it releases both the auditor general and the auditor from any financial benefit. Mm-hmm.
And opens up to stupid.
I'm sorry, Mark, what's the case now? You have a piece of it.
And subject to the auditor general.
And subject to the auditor general.
To political and executive scrutiny, because treasury would also.
Executive scrutiny.
Yeah. I think the other one is that probably wouldn't there be a need for some sort of a regulation to regulate that relationship. That is now the owner is going to be with treasure to collect or to make the client pay. And if it doesn't happen from treasure, where would you fall back now? You always keep on saying, no, China is not doing 1, 2, 3. But maybe there could be some sort of catching up.
That we will deal with later, because we've asked for a full report on the legal positions relating to the recovery of human rights. Because we've looked into the various acts, and no one wants to be operating on it. I think one thing about that being tackled there. All the ones that there was asking us to run is just to come up with a validation of the business
plan. We can't put any conditions there. The conditions, there could be some sort of regulation around it. Those money are gone, they're finished. So you can't say, can I use what I've been able to accumulate as surplus over the year to cover all those deficiencies? Because now, if it's taken with the understanding that they've got to collect what they would have to accept. Now, the sum is also, as of this now, the profit making organization.
The situation is that they have hardly ever returned the services. They retain the services, and the services are quite minimal. And they don't retain the services on income levels. In other words, if they get a service, if their income is due to expenditure, that doesn't determine whether they keep it. What determines their decision to complete the service is if they have a surplus on the working capital. in other words, of a cultural and total culture, what all the humans are, if it covers that. So if they can cover the reserve requirements, and if they can cover the operational requirements, if they can cover the capital expenditure requirements, they still have a culture, then they're paying the same. But there's virtually no difference. The funding deficit is reaching serious. They're not going to get out of the problem this year, next year, or even the year thereafter.
I was looking at page 2, the numbering, I'm trying to understand that. Starting from page 1, we've got 2 and 2.1, and the next one, I'm not sure that those are ones and not, or maybe
it's, what
you've
got is
2.21, 2.22, sorry, 2.2, the cover ratio, not 2.2, no.
Yeah, where we are, yeah, it would be 2.12.
The second page ends up at 2.14.
2.5. And then it ends up at 2.5.4. You see, if your financial, your overall thing is that you're looking at the financial position. That's the number
you're
after. So there's different things under each of those that you would have to look at. So 3.1 would be the right thing to look at. 2.2 would be the other thing. The funding model is dependent on the filling of these cells. So I think we do want to be kept in touch with what is happening because the changes have implications for the outcomes for 2008 in March and the outcomes for 2009. You need to, I know that it's an operational issue, but it's an operational issue that has critical implications for the sort of ministry, for the charter, for the viability of the office. That's why I asked you. And we are endorsing a request for check advice on the actual thing.
Is there no way that we could remark on that? That the issue of the availability of skills is also a challenge. What we may be able to get a
report.
That
is at the heart of the problem.
Okay.
All the way to okay, then there's the committee comments on the strategic plan. Number two, the asking for the framework for performance, auditing and performance information. Remember the discussion Gavin was in there. Asking for a clear framework of what it's actually going to mean. Yeah. APAC is also put through a resolution that has been put by that.
Number three, this is 3-3-1. The
3-1.
Or 3-5.
Is it paragraph 4 or 3?
Yeah, paragraph
3,
number 1.
Oh, it's got the document that I have. I'm also looking at point two. If we are saying an improvement in the timeline of municipal reporting, I would say from the side of the organization that we must be able to deal with audit within the prescribed time.
Yeah.
Influencing the activities in the local government to say now we're going to cost the Auditor General for the time frame or we for the time frame in terms of the MFMA who will comply. How do we make it in such a way that, because I'm not saying Auditor General being able to do this.
No, I'm saying that you see, if you read the opening sentence, and the one is that there has to be an improvement in the timing of the municipal inspection. We're not saying that AG is responsible.
So what are we saying?
We're saying that there's going to be an improvement, and if there isn't an improvement, we're going to see a cash flow
problem.
And we're also going to see that the Auditor General is once again having to be dealing with backlog. They have to contract in staff to deal with the backlog. So this issue of the timing of the municipal reporting has a huge implication for the Auditor General's financial viability. And we're saying that the AG must make an informed opinion on the likelihood and extent of their submission, so as to manage backlog without negatively affecting the funding base. Because remember last time he budgeted for 50% of something tarnished for 14, and in fact 80% submitted their audits. So the audits were so bad that many of them had to be returned. So now he's got that experience. Now he's got to ensure early warning systems and if he's going to have a backlog.
Now, Madam Chair, I'm trying to say that one day, maybe in a year's time, we'll be looking at through the achievements of the Auditor General.
Yeah.
So are we saying that we've got an advanced excuse, which may not be a excuse, which is a reality, that that objective may not be realized unless those areas are attended to. Although we're commenting, I'll say who should do what.
The Auditor General is exposed to this risk. And the risk is that municipalities are still not going to be able, because of poor financial capacity, to put in good reports on time. The Auditor General must recognize that that is a risk. And therefore, must, as I say, the AG must make an informed opinion on the likelihood and extent of their submission, so as to manage that loss without negatively affecting the funding basis of the Auditor General. So the Auditor General must now know that she wasn't in the situation she predicted last year. She now knows that this is a possibility. How is she going to allocate the audit team to manage that risk of developing backlog?
So the issue of non-compliance doesn't fit in there, because my feeling is that the AG is exposed to this issue of backlog and also problems of cash flow because of non-compliance.
Yes.
But now we cannot pinpoint and say somebody who is responsible and accountable to deal with those issues should be able to do something. AG cannot do anything about someone not doing it well. He cannot, AG cannot reprimand any municipality for not having been able to submit it.
So, you know what you can add to that? We can say national treasury should be approached by the AG's office to assist in this regard.
At least because that will make us expect that if that thing will get to do.
After the first sentence, after paragraph 2, after the first sentence, an improvement in the timing of that sentence. You can add, national treasury must be approached to assist in this regard. Mm-hmm. The Zen Treasury must be approached to give proactive assistance in this regard.
Yeah, because here the music is pretending for the stage. It's a tennis book.
Well, he's got it. He's got it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's very true. He means 250 million. It's projected. It's going to turn into 150 million.
Let me check.
Yeah.
I think it is also important that the relationship is really important when it's been said. But the ADA, as you say, now knows that he can expect a lot of late reports. What he should do in his own planning is prepare for the receipt of late reports. In other words, to be prepared to minimize the impact of those guys doing it again, it is guaranteed there will be late
reports. How can we prepare? Is it through having extra staff to do that? But by the time those reports come late, because it's what other customers do.
And the agitation of all staff, that becomes what is also done, is he's opened up two new agencies in the provinces. And he's doing a massive recruitment of staff. So that even if backlogs arrive, and see that's why the recruitment of staff is so critical. Backlogs arrive, and what next staff to do is to have.
This committee can for no advice. Our hope is somewhere along the line it could be in a position to bring to hope that people are not complying in terms of the manner we're doing. While we're looking at assisting the other people, let me put it this way. If you remember, there was once a Mr. Gizan house which was sold in Greater. Mm-hmm. And then part was held into the NCOP here. Now I'm saying you said this is part you are not paying, you are not even complying with something, but it's a statement so that AP can do it well. Mm-hmm. It's only just by local government. But we are responsible for making the point that the auditing side is assisting.
Can we then look at paragraph 13 on page 5? When we say the committee undertakes to all parliamentary committees that natural disaster related. The exercise of the auditor's oversight of the local government because consistently monitor the payment of audit fees and local government and the timeliest return of financial and the timeliest reporting financial and financial financial. And the timeliest logging of those financial reports to the auditor general. And the timeliest presentation of audit reports to the auditor general.
So we are excluded in the issue of audit report not being completed. Because now we're saying that we have to refer to those committees, which means our committee cannot handle the issue of debating this issue.
We're saying that we can request the parliamentary committee. At some parliamentary committee selection says, will you run a report? And we
can
run
a report.
Again, we've got
an official gap at the meeting. Yeah, the problem is the same. Because immediately you find somebody being, because if you look at local government, they might deal with it randomly to say this is the debate about the status. But when it comes to say municipality A, this is the report from the Auditor General and we are a committee. If the issue of oversight includes us being able to get these things, this compliance, sufficiently, how in assisting we can overlook those things by saying other committees are doing.
Let me just share with you the massive fight that go on in the NCOP between the NCOP for local government and the NCOP coming to municipalities. The communities are up in arms and saying that's our job. It becomes a whole jurisdictional issue. So it becomes a terrible. What are you doing, bringing our municipalities, they must attend our legislature, why don't they go to national? Now we start going in the National Assembly and the NCOP saying that we're doing, we've got that program. What are you doing now? So I think we put down the request to all parliamentary committees And we can then engage in negotiations about who does the work.
And with you then,
and we will allow you to chair the meetings when these so we'll make you use that for
Google. We'll bring Mr. Beardy here.
This is
and he takes you to the Joint Budget Committee, and the Select Committee, he says, so what are you doing in the Joint Budget Committee?
I know.
Any governmental people are looking at the entitlement of the religious group. Can we have someone to move on this?
I don't want to move each and every one,
I'm just going to move it. Johnson, will you second?
Second
would be a motion. But you can't say that if you haven't had your mind which we would expect you to do. I think the only thing that you can say in all honesty is to say, because of time constraints problems, I have not had time to apply my mind to the issues to say, and therefore I refrain from endorsing it. But to say I refrain from endorsing it, you would then have to give your specific reasons why you refrain.
Well, then, if you're unable
to give us the reason now, then I think it must be recorded that Dr. Wood is unable to endorse this because he hasn't had sufficient time to investigate that.
Yeah, she said one specific section regarding the
my proposal was for us to engage on the issue that is not taken up because we did not come here with a position. And I think if there's an area, if we already agreed on a preferred recommendation, if you put something against it and you've got a certain position, let us discuss it with just that one point.
I think Dr. Woods is more concerned that whether a funding model, a review of the funding model is required. I think that would be more concerned.
I tried to learn by listening that maybe it was because I missed that part of the meeting, I needed to know whether maybe that was wise or not. Listening to the discussion, I still remember the lock as truth. I suppose it's like I have this advantage because of this advantage, something like the circuit that you've been in the committee for 13 or 14 years. And you've seen a number of countries and you saw how management looked the way through it. I remember in 1994 when we amalgamated all these contracts. The backlog, the budget virtually doubled, but we didn't have a trust factor. The same as the PFMAFA, how we got through it. I think 5 years back, but the outstanding debt we met today is today, so not better. I think the cost structure of the office, the certain cost of being transferred over to contracting, the fixed costs, are they being rationalized? What's happened to those? There's just so many questions, I don't know what's happening. But what I've learned, and I learned this to scope it, is it comes a change for a lot of people to say, I've got a problem, what's the big way out? You need more money. And to me, I would start to understand it a bit better.
So I think what we need to say, Justin was unable to endorse the report on the basis that he was having sufficient time to engage in the
recommendation.
No, I agree with you. I mean, that's our sense of a huge amount of time going through the financials, just trying to see, because that was my immediate response. And, I mean, one would have to be in the heart of those that agencies often really become changes. I think that's why the discussion with National Treasury on all of this is so important. Because they would, in having to get cash advances, they would have to be examining just what the things are that are happening.
If you go back a year, did you predict these four crises if you were there?
No, we didn't predict it.
Madam Chair, I don't think this is our last meeting. I'll find it very wise for us to say that let us allow Kawood to. No, I'm not saying that you come then. No, this is fine what you've done. But what I'm saying is that if for any reason you find that it's found something, if you could bring it to the future, I can't be there. I've found this gap.
All of us. All of us need to be investigated in the process of this. And I think we would welcome Dr. Wood.
Thank you. He was taking out the red one.